It's Labor Day in New York, in the United States, celebrating those that work. And here are a couple of guys that don't, Mike and Abe.
Yeah.
Well, Mike works.
I always say work fascinates me, yes. Go ahead.
Yes, we love to work. We love to work. Yeah. And you're on the Mike and Abe show, okay? And Mike, what's new?
Well, I'm hoping one day the city can have a deadbeats who don't work and complain about cabs day. I mean, that would be like a huge parade if they had that. Deadbeats who don't work and complain about cabs. Because the last week, I had more than a few people. Now, when somebody gets in the cab and complains, first thing I do is look at the meter, all right? Because that's why I like working at Kennedy Airport, and I'm on the Taxi Dave show as JFK Mike in character. Mm-hmm. But when I go out to Kennedy Airport, if somebody complains or has a problem, I know, at the very least, when I leave Kennedy Airport, there's going to be at least $20, $25, or maybe like $60 or $70 going into the city or out of town. So, which is probably where everybody tries to steal from us out there. But at least I can look at the meter and say, well, they're complaining, but they're into me for half a yard, so what the heck. But when I get into the city and I get four people in the cab complaining about anything, and there's $6 or $7 on the meter, I mean, first of all, I'm the one complaining because, look, the subway and the bus in New York City is $2.75, okay? So you have, in my opinion, no right to complain about getting into a cab until you and your four friends hit $11 on the meter, all right? Because until then, I know for a fact, because I take buses and subways, that nothing is worse than a cab with four people compared to the bus and the subway. I mean, the bus and the subway, you got rats, you got crackheads, you got people throwing people onto the subway tracks in front of trains. Doesn't happen in a yellow cab. So until you get to $11 on the meter with four people, don't complain. All right, you're just making a fool out of yourself when you do. That's my little rant on that. So what do you got to say? You had some stuff going on.
Well, just let me get to the heart of what they're complaining about. Are they complaining about the meter running up while you're sitting in traffic, or are they just complaining because they have nothing better to do than complain?
I think it's the latter. They have nothing better to do than complain. And a lot of times, the complaining comes from the amateur hour of not people who are steady cab riders and people who just are in for their, like, monthly cab ride, and they squash into a cab, and they get mad because I can't take five people. Oh, and at the airport, that's another thing. You get people trying to squash in five people and say, excuse me, take two cabs. What? So they're getting off a plane, they've stayed in a hotel, they're coming back from vacation, but after all that, they won't spring for two cabs to travel comfortably, they want to go for one cab. And the luggage, because I'm driving a van now, these people with the luggage, we have to start being able to charge for excessive luggage, all right? I right now I'm at my wit's end with the van thing, because instead of getting tipped more, you get these people trying to get over. And the dispatchers lead the people with lots of luggage to the vans, and you can't say, hey, give me another $10. No, it's just you have to get the same price. So I'll probably go back to either a Camry or a Prius or a shoebox for my next cab, because the people are taking advantage of me.
Okay, and this is your complaint.
One of many. It's a long show. I'll find something. Don't worry.
So everybody in the world, it seems, has something to complain about, regardless of whether they're doing well or not doing well.
Okay. Well, I got stuff to complain about, like real tears. Not like but somebody gets in the cab. The other thing is they're following me on their handheld GPS. And they're not cab drivers, and they don't know anything. And here's who the worst passenger is, in my opinion. The millennials who lower themselves to take a yellow cab because Uber is in double and triple surge. And then they get in with their Uber attitude and start whining about cab service, which really they only take us when their Uber cars are gouging them. So instead of being grateful that they got a cab for a third of the price, they come up with the millennial BS and start, you know, whining and complaining and tracking on their GPS. They don't know anything. They're just like snowflakes.
I mean,
go ahead.
Millennial is a new word in our language. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, it did not exist 20, 30 years ago. Okay, and I wanted to know exactly how millennial is defined. Who is a millennial? Okay, hold on. What I looked up was that a millennial is somebody who reached adulthood after the year 2000.
They've never reached adulthood. That's the problem. They refuse to reach adulthood.
They're a bunch of whining babies.
Since it's a family show, I'll go with that. Yes, whiny. Well, you get the B part right, but babies, yeah. We'll use babies.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, tell me, before the show, you wanted to talk about the differences of opinions of our governor and your mayor. Okay.
Well, this is the thing now. We have next year is Cuomo time. He's up for re-election. And this September is de Blasio is going for re-election. And, you know, that's one thing. I don't want to get into, like, Democrat or Republican. I voted for both during my life. Mm-hmm. But right now, we have she seems like a nice lady from Staten Island, Nicole Malliotakis. And then we have Bo Dietl. And we have a couple of political lambs of God, I'll say that, going up against de Blasio. Because de Blasio pretty much has, you know, the unions and the poor vote in his pocket. And I mean, his goal, I think, is to keep the poor. And if you're kind of like, let's say, first-generation immigrants, and I've thought about this, mm-hmm. is that if you're a first-generation immigrant and you own a medallion, you instantly are either moving out of the city or you're wondering why you're paying so much in taxes and fees and stuff around the city. So the last thing I think a de Blasio administration person wants is prosperity from first-generation immigrants. Now, what they want are, I think, to placate the dregs of society who will just robotically vote for a de Blasio administration. That's what I see, in my cynical opinion, which I don't think is too cynical. And I'll tell you something else, because we got an election coming up, and even a no-name like Malliotakis, or as one cabbie said, the girl from Staten Island, so the lady from Staten Island, has, I think, 28 or 30% of the mayoral vote now in a city that historically breaks 7-1 Democrat. So that's what the wonderful job de Blasio is doing. And the gypsy cabs and the Uber cars have been unleashed. They're running around like wild Indians. And one of your board members was talking about, we have to lower the rate on Sunday. No, we don't have to lower the rate on Sunday. Why in God's name would you want to lower anything rate-wise in the yellow cab? Well, are we just, like, trying to, like, reduce our service to compete with Uber? No, we should raise our service. Raise the rates, keep good drivers, and make it happen. I mean, this nonsense. First of all, we don't get a Sunday surcharge for working Sundays. We don't get a holiday surcharge. Tomorrow we don't get a holiday surcharge. And, in fact, we make less money on a holiday. We're the only workers in America to make less money on a holiday. I mean, we don't get the rush hour surcharge tomorrow because it's a holiday. So
that's
God
right.
forbid anyone else working for the city gets time and a half or double time or what have you. The cabbies get less now. And I'm sick and tired of these people saying we don't need the federal case because of Uber. Forget Uber. Stop with the Uber. Or don't be such big babies. They've been so spoiled with being yellow cabs and that's it. You have a business you're running. There are expenses. You need to raise your rates. And stop listening to these people who keep complaining about Uber. Forget Uber. Uber is going down the drain, in my opinion. I you've been very good at posting some of the stuff with Uber on their highway to hell. Apologies to AC/DC. So what are some of the things you see in the good news department for the yellow cab? Because you post stuff all the time.
Well, you know, I'm wondering about this new taxi cab leasing pilot, which...
Right.
You know, the TLC passed rules over a year ago that would allow variations of how to lease a taxi cab, okay?
Right.
Leading away from the 12-hour shifts that drivers normally undertake, okay, where they go into the shift owing money, okay?
Right.
And if they don't make enough money to cover their lease and, and more than that, then they're actually losing money, and it's not a win-win situation for them. It's a win or lose situation. Okay.
Right.
Now I never had a problem with that because I was always able. I don't care what day of the week it was, what time of the day it was. I was always able to get enough business to cover my expenses. Okay. Mm-hmm. The only time I would lose money is if the car broke down. Okay. So right. if the cars are well maintained, then you don't have that problem. Of course, a flat tire here and there, you know, is unavoidable. Okay, especially right. in New York, with all the construction that's going on, you're bound to pick up nails, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so now they have this a new leasing pilot that they're just introducing. And there's a fleet in Brooklyn that's undertaking it, okay? Where the drivers, and they've designed an app to accommodate this, okay? Where you don't have to take the trip to the garage, okay? And somebody pointed out to me yesterday that he knew somebody who was taking the bus from Jersey City into Manhattan, or the train into Manhattan, and then from there the train into Long Island City, and it was like a couple of hours each way sometimes, you know, just to get back and forth to the garage. But now
this is a cab driver you're talking about.
Yeah, right. But now some drivers will have an opportunity to have an app, and when you finish with your shift, rather than taking the car back to the garage, you will leave the car on the street or parked in a safe area. I mean, I don't know all the particulars how that's going to be, because for just finding a legal parking place is difficult. Okay, no matter mm-hmm. where you are, you know. In New Jersey, Queens, whatever, you know, I mean, all the side of the street parking, if you leave it there too long, you're going to get a ticket, okay? All right?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, I've been told that they've worked that all out. They've somehow figured out, the app somehow will notify them when there's a problem, okay? And I was also concerned about vandalism of the cars. If you can leave the car on the street, okay, people will break in and take take the meter, you know, but I was told no, nowadays there's no more stealing of meters because everything is attached to the TPAP, so they would have to take the entire system, okay, which I wouldn't put beyond some thieves, all right, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean I've had crazy things happen in my career, you know, where they bust in windows and they'll take whatever they could get out in an hour, they'll take, all right?
Right.
Okay, but aside from all that, the drivers themselves will have an opportunity to use this app and know where the nearest car is, okay, the nearest taxi right. cab, and just go to that taxi and go to work, okay? Now,
right.
what they're going to pay is they're going to work whatever hours they want, okay? And there are other arrangements that the TLC has designed, including where they pay, I believe they pay 35%, okay, of right. the fares. So if you go in for every dollar you take in, you pay 35 cents. So if you take in $100, you pay $35. If you take in $200, you pay $70, okay? It's not clear who's paying for gas. Okay, I imagine the driver is paying for gas if he's always paying 35% of the fare. Okay,
right.
And it's not clear. What else is it clear? Well, that's about it. Okay, and it's not clear who's going to pay the parking tickets if there is a parking ticket. Okay,
right.
So I don't have all the details. All I have is what's on the TLC website. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is interesting. This is interesting because it's a matter of who's going to go for these deals. Is it going to be just the fleets, or is it going to be all the leasing agents? Okay, where drivers own the car. Okay, and
well,
they
right
have
now
other,
I think
yeah.
I think who's going to go for the deal is, like I say, the weekly lease guys are going to go for this deal. Obviously, now probably the leasing agent will go for the deal. Because I think a lot of fleets also like to see who's getting that car on a daily basis. I mean, sometimes I'll have it for a week, at least if the person comes in. Now, the little caveat in this, which I think is a great idea. I mean, I love this company called Zipcar because it's pretty much what you can do. One person takes the car, the other car drives it, and we can basically hand it off to the other driver.
Let me stop you there for 1 second. Let me ask you this about Zipcar. Okay, when you drop off the Zipcar, where do you drop it off?
Right by LaGuardia. But, I mean, there are different locations in a parking garage, and usually it's either a gas station or a parking garage where the Zipcars are.
So you don't necessarily park it on the street?
No. It's in a maintained lot or the street.
So I have to assume then that this taxi pilot will follow the same thing where cars aren't actually parked on the street, but they're parked at locations nearby where the car is safe.
You got me. I'm dying to find out more information about this because I think the guy in Brooklyn, who we give a comp to on our website because he's a team player.
Yeah.
Where is he? He's on like the Little Ed's. He's got something with the Little Ed's.
Well, you're talking about at New York City Taxi Group. Is that it?
I believe that's him, right?
Yeah. He's the one that's being mentioned as the supporter of this. Okay.
Oh,
let me see.
Okay.
I have it right here. There's a PDF that there's a link on the front page at NYC Taxi News if you want to read. It's a press release from the TLC. Okay,
right.
And New York City Taxi Group, a Brooklyn-based fleet that manages over 260 medallions, has begun to offer fair share commission leases to drivers. The maximum commission charged is 35%, so that means the maximum commission that the driver will pay is 35%, okay?
Right.
Now, back in the day when I first started driving, okay, I was paying 49%, and the fleet was picking up all the expenses, including gas. So I got to imagine 35% you're paying for gas.
Oh, okay, it's going to be commissioned as soon as you get the car. It's not going to be hourly.
Say that question one more time.
Is it going to be an hourly lease or is it going to be commissioned
There are different options, okay? But 35% is one of the options. Okay, and probably the option that drivers will go for. I mean, if I was a driver, I would want to do that, you know, because then there's a guarantee that every fare I pick up, I'm getting paid for it, you know. If you're leasing and you have to pay a lease amount, then you got that nut that you have to crack first, which is what they're trying to get away from, okay?
Right.
And you know, if you go to the TLC website, there's a link to the TLC website. Learn more about the taxi cab leasing pilot, okay? And it says here, I'm going to read you this whole thing. You know, I hope you don't mind. Drivers Outreach has revealed that some have stopped operating taxi cabs as a result of the inflexible leases currently offered by lessors running a 5-to-5 operation. TLC estimates this lack of service during the evening rush hours causes drivers to lose over 12,000 potential fares each weekday, and they may actually be right about that, because during that period that taxis have to go back to the garage, they're giving up their fares to the gypsies and the Ubers, okay, who in many cases are one and the same, okay?
Right.
By participating in the taxicab leasing pilot, owners and agents can offer the attractive shifts their drivers demand, such as uninterrupted shifts during the high-demand evening rush hours, shorter shifts, and low-risk leases. TLC will promote the leasing models each participant offers on this webpage, providing participants a unique opportunity to reach interested drivers. Participants may choose to offer the following leases. Okay, now here's the answer to your question, okay? Standard leases, lease arrangements governed by the TLC caps. Okay, that's what's going on now. Okay, fair share leases, low-risk lease arrangements where the participant withholds at the end of the shift a percentage of the driver's fare box revenue as payment for the lease. Okay? So what does that mean? Fair shift leases, low-risk lease agreements where the participant withholds at the end of the shift. That would be the fleet owner or the manager, right? He will withhold a percentage of the driver's fare box, okay?
Right.
Participant leases governed by a leasing model designed by each participants with specific lease times and rates and approved by the TLC or any combination of the above. So it seems that you could do an hourly thing or do a percentage thing.
Right.
I would think,
if I was this guy, just everybody wins, I think, my opinion. If you had just an hourly thing, if you said, okay, I'm picking up the car tonight at 10 o'clock, I'm going to work till 3 o'clock, how much, and just include like a basic range for gas, and, you know, but just have like the I would follow the Zipcar model with cabs, and I would think everybody wins. Because if you had like a flat rate, including gas, between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. for a cheap price, like I said, including the gas, those cars will go out. Because right now we have a big problem here in that you have all or nothing leasing, okay? Either the car's going out for a shift price or it's going out for a double shift price and you got to pay the gas. So basically, if a cab driver wants to go out like me today, I got to generate $200 before I make one red cent, okay? A lot of guys don't have to do that. That's where they're getting killed by Uber, because Uber now has these forcocta deals, which is not a curse. I looked it up. They have these forcocta deals.
Forcocta is a Yiddish word that means BS.
Right. They have a forcocta deal. Right. Well done, by the way. Okay. Where you have to, you can make commission working at night, but you have to buy a car or you have to go to a leasing agent and get a car, blah, blah, blah. But basically, a guy with Uber can go out and make like, do like 6 or 7 hours at night and go home. And I think what happens with the yellow cab, where they basically stole our lunch money with this deal, is the dinosaurs in this business refused to budge and refused to do that early on in the Uber game, where you could say, look, we're going to have a deal like this where you can come in and work hourly. If you don't want to work the whole shift, you work from like 8 to midnight or, you know, 9 p.m. to like 3 in the morning or something like that, where you got people who don't want to push 12 hours a day and then commute back and forth on the subway. You know, I mean, unless you're like a college kid and you can bang it out, that's no fun. And what it translates into is a lot of these cars sitting on the street. And I think it's, as much as I feel for the fleet owners in a way to have these cars sitting at night, a lot of this is their fault. A lot of this is the refusal to change, refusal to hit the curveball, after being spoiled for so many years. And hopefully this guy in Brooklyn, I'm going to call him next week, as Alex, I think his name is. He has a great plan, and he's in the middle of it. He seemed like a bright guy, a young guy with some enthusiasm. And he told me very early on about this. He said, I have a great idea of the industry. I was like, listen, don't tell me. I'm the last guy to tell anything early on like this because, you know, I talk to so many people, I might say or do something which will mess it up for you. So I said, if you have a great plan, great. So now I'm glad his great plan is reaching fruition. And I think it just bodes well for the rest of the industry because now we can get these cars out. What do you think?
Well, if you're right that it's going to get the rest of the cars out and keep them out as many hours as possible, okay, you know, barring your time for maintenance, you got to, all cars have to come in at some time or another for oil changes and brakes and you know, all these things that, you know, that keep people safe, okay, all right? You know, but if you can keep the cars out at a maximum number of hours each day, this is going to be the end of the line for all of these Uber drivers who will now switch over back to the yellow cabs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank God.
So actually, the beginning, I should say, for the Uber drivers to get out of those rotten deals that they have with Uber. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it'll bring you look. I argued this a long time ago when I first broke into the business. Right. It was kind of like this, you know. It was, you go into the garage, and you know, there were shape-ups at 4 p.m. and shape-ups, you know, at 5 a.m., whatever, just like there are now. But guys would show up at all kinds of weird different hours. And if a car came in, they'd go out, okay?
They'd come in
at 9 o'clock at night, and some guy is out there working a night shift, and he doesn't feel well, and he doesn't want to work anymore, and he'd just come in and say, I can't do it anymore. And this guy waiting, he'd go out from 9 to 3 a.m. or something like that.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
And there were guys that went out at midnight, and then they worked till 4 a.m. Just work, you know, this is what they did. Teachers, actors, you know, anybody that wanted a part-time job, you know, that fit their, you know, their schedule, you know, would come in and work, okay? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know how many actors are out there, you know, from way back when, you know, from 30, 40 years ago, all of them had hack licenses, okay?
Right.
This, you know, this was what they did. How do you think that remember the Taxi, did the show Taxi with, you know, Judd Hirsch and Tony Danza and all of them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is how they thought up the show. They were actually cab drivers, some of these people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The producers, the writers, okay? And this is what they did, you know, because there were more wannabe actors in New York City than there are ants on a pile of sugar, okay?
Right.
All right, and they can't make money. You know, if they don't get any acting jobs, they don't make any money. Okay.
Well, you know, jumping in for a second. This is what's happening. This is what happened. I mean, right now you have 90,000 drivers of all vehicles licensed by the Taxi Commission, of which 25,000 want to drive a yellow cab. That used to be the exact opposite. It used to be you had thousands of guys and gals lined up to drive yellow cabs. They were happy. And it got to the point where I said, well, why are you giving 12-hour shifts? Maybe you should reduce it to 8-hour shifts. And, oh, blah, 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 blah. Listen, this is the dinosaurs, the droning on from some of the guys who are like, we need more drivers. And now they got drivers up the yin-yang. And but basically only 30% of the licensed TLC drivers want to drive a TLC yellow cab. And what does TLC do? They put more restrictions. They make handicapped vehicles, that, and they don't really compensate the drivers for driving these handicapped accessible vehicles. It's just all of a sudden now you have another competitive burden. Speaking frankly, I mean, everybody else gouges the handicapped care in this city, and the yellow cab drivers are supposed to work for free. And I there's a lot of blame to go around, but from a day one scenario, I think this is great. It'll get the cars out. And we got to cover the work. I mean, we have a situation now where the business comes back. Way, shape, or form, you have to cover the work. And I was driving on the city last night, went to LaGuardia, which I also want to talk about, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the city, throughout the city, you had cabs sitting, because I think it was some sort of religious holiday or whatever, and it was Saturday, and it was Labor Day, and blah, blah, blah. But there, I'm sure there would have been drivers, given the system, who would have happily worked for 5 or 6 hours. I mean, if for nothing else than to take their kids to soccer or to go food shopping, to use the cab and maybe make a few bucks on the side, but the car just sits. And I talked to one fleet guy, he goes, oh, it's too much of a headache. Listen, we're in a headache business. it's a headache business. You don't get into this business if you want to avoid headaches. But
yeah,
you got to
right.
get the cars out. You got to get the cars out. And I think you have a value in this, because you saw it when it was back in the days. And the third rail of talking about this is commission. Everybody's like, oh, no, commission. We have right now the ability to put commission driving back into the game, and it would save the industry, in my opinion. I mean, I think the leasing was good during the fat days, but the fat days are over, and you have to find a way to get these cabs out. By law, you have to get the cars out. If you are a fleet and you have... Like the guy who is in the jackpot, the guy who has like 400 cabs or whatever, and I see some of his cabs sitting all the time. Say, listen, if you can't find a way to get these cars rolling, then maybe you shouldn't be doing this. Because there's other people out there who can find a way to get those cars rolling one way or the other. So I don't know. And the other thing is they're lowering lease prices to medallion owners. So they got retired people getting... basically half the money they were getting in their retirement from like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be addressed too. There has to be ways to generate revenue. And one of the ways is to do like either commission driving or hourly leasing. Like Zipcar has built a $1 billion business with hourly leasing. It doesn't seem like a bad business model. But like I said, you have a bunch of spoiled brats in this business who just want to get shifts out. They just want $100 or $150 or nothing. And I think it's disgusting.
It's true. Well, hello? you know, the pilot is going into effect with starting with the fleet in Brooklyn, okay, and how it works out for them will be a milestone in the future, okay?
Yeah.
If it works, everybody's going to do it, and if it doesn't work, we're back to square one, okay?
Right.
You know, I think it'll work.
Well, okay. I hope it'll work, because right now it's very frustrating watching the so-called powers that be just kick back. And I was listening to a friend of mine who was on the phone with a conference call, and one guy on the other line says, like, eventually the market will adjust. And with the whole, it's like, listen, the market has adjusted. The medallion is down 40%. The cars are sitting. There you go. That's your market adjusting. Listen, the market, when I hear somebody say the market will adjust, that means they probably got enough money to live the rest of their life comfortably in a mansion somewhere, and they don't care. So we have to start ignoring those morons and be proactive like our friend out in Brooklyn. I'm going to go out and talk to this guy next week and say, hi, remember me. So, you know, hopefully he will.
All right, well, we'll be looking forward to your visit. Okay, so Mike, what else? What else we got to talk about today? It's a Labor Day.
Oh, what else? I just like to say, the JFK nonsense with the dispatching. First of all, Gridlock Sam and Governor Cuomo have really, really, really helped out with LaGuardia. I'm back at LaGuardia working part-time again, as opposed to JFK, because LaGuardia now has a better system where the cabbies are getting dispatch tickets, and it's not the free-for-all it once was. A lot of the goofball cabbies from our rank and file, a lot of the goofball dispatchers are gone, and they have a lot of new dispatchers who are keeping it tight, especially where the old American Airlines used to be, and that's a good thing. Kennedy, not so much. Kennedy, they have a bunch of, I don't want to sound horrible, but you have some excellent dispatchers at Kennedy who've been there for a while, and you got a new crew of, and I don't know where they're getting some of these new dispatchers, but this is our business. I mean, you have not only these hood rats that have just been hired, I'll say within the last 6 months. They're rude to the cabbies. They're loud on the intercom at the main lot, embarrassing cab drivers in front of all the other drivers. They're rude to the passengers at the terminals. And I also think a few of them, of the new dispatchers, have a little game going with the Uber drivers, letting them come right by the taxi dispatchers and creating a shortage of yellow cabs, either A, by not calling for cabs when it's very busy, or B, by calling for too many cabs at the terminal when it's not busy. I'm going to look into that, my friend, believe you me. And there's a couple of dispatches I've seen there. When anything weird like that happens, same people. Same people, same routine, so something's going on. And like I said, the overwhelming majority of dispatchers, thank God, are okay, but you have a few rascals in the mix that I'm going to check out on the right quick. And one guy even said, oh, you know, I said, listen, I've been sitting in front of the terminal after being dispatched in the main lot for a half an hour. I'm supposed to wait for 20 minutes, and they say, well, if you got a problem, you could just call Central, which I did, because apparently that dispatcher didn't think I had Central's number, so I called the supervisor. All of a sudden, I hear his walkie-talkie go off, and they both jumped up like in shock, sitting in their little kiosk, and started dispatching. So there's something going on there. I'm going to check it out. But LaGuardia, like I said, Gridlock Sam and Governor Cuomo has taken LaGuardia under their wing and cleaned it up a lot. For taxi drivers. And let me look at what Governor Cuomo has done. He's rebuilt the Tappan Zee Bridge, named it after his father, we're going to tell you. Finished the Van Wyck job for the construction there. Is rebuilding LaGuardia. He's done a lot of stuff. Whereas de Blasio basically is talking about legalizing the gypsies, getting into the office at noon. So he's late to come into work, not doing anything legalizing the gypsies. So if I have the air between de Blasio and Cuomo, I'm guessing I'm going to go with Cuomo because he's rebuilding the infrastructure and de Blasio is destroying our industry. I guess you flip a coin on that, right?
I guess.
Yeah. And Cuomo's a big fan of de Blasio also. Just kidding, yeah. So they don't talk. Lucky Cuomo.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, there was an article in the paper, in the news this week about a taxi driver who had his license revoked for using medical marijuana, and he was awarded his license back by the courts,
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was awarded his license back?
Yeah.
That means he can run for mayor. He can run for mayor.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you're taking what would be deemed an illegal drug or a dangerous drug, which I never thought marijuana was, okay?
Right.
But if you lose your license for it, then you're taking this thing legally with a doctor's prescription, you know, it should apply to you also, okay?
Well, here's the thing with smoking weed is what you do in your own time is your business. I mean, if you're smoking weed while driving a cab, I don't think anybody's going to get on board with that. But if the court did, in fact, approve his medical marijuana for his time or her time, is it he, right? The guy?
I believe it was a guy, yeah.
Okay, if he's smoking medical marijuana on his time and he's not operating a vehicle, zero problem with that. The only problem with marijuana, I don't think there's really that much of a problem with marijuana, other than the fact that it's just another thing. You shouldn't be getting high all the time. You know, and like I said, you shouldn't be operating equipment or a vehicle if you're smoking weed. Apparently, some drivers still do, but I think as far as what you do in the privacy of your own home, and it's legal, especially if it's like really legal in Colorado and Seattle,
mm-hmm.
then I don't see what the big deal is. And I'm just wondering why the people at City Hall and the people of the Taxi and Limousine Commission, do they have an annual drug test like the cabbies do?
No,
I don't think so.
No. They should.
They get it. They have a drug. They have a drug test when somebody gets in trouble, right? Is that the idea?
I don't know. I don't know. But I think all government workers should be, you know, eligible or what's the word? Obligated to take the same tests that people that they're governing are taking.
Right.
Okay.
I think what you should do on a volunteer basis, say, we're going to put another $250 a year in your paycheck if you sign on for the annual drug test, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that should be a good idea, or even more. Okay, because, I mean, they are city workers. Oh, and I saw a nice little thing at the LaGuardia last night. I saw a lady bus driver with a bus, city bus, packed with people, holding her cell phone in her hand while she had her hand on the steering wheel. So she's listening, sweetheart, put the phone down, all right? You got a problem. That's my little
okay. What kind of bus was this?
It was a city bus.
A city bus. Talking on the cell phone while driving a city bus.
I didn't see her talking on the phone, but she had the phone in her left hand while she's holding the steering wheel.
Uh huh.
So where there's smoke, there's fire. Let's put it that way. You know?
Yeah. It sounds like it.
But I mean, you got to have a serious obsessive compulsive disorder where you're driving a bus through the airport with cops all over the place. And passengers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. Well, that's what was going on last night.
All right. So what else we got this week, Mike?
What else we got this week? Oh, we got that medallion auction coming up in September.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's getting close. That'll be a week from tomorrow. Okay, the 11th.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. And I believe what I read is they have to submit their financing plans first, and those that are eligible will actually go to the actual auction. Will be a week after that, on
uh-huh.
the 18th. Okay, so
wait, back up again. I missed that completely.
And what I read was that next Monday, the 11th, those that apply to be eligible for the auction will have to submit their financing plans, and if they're accepted,
right.
The actual auction will be on the 18th, is what I read. Okay, you know, don't take me for verbatim, okay? But you know, because when I read, usually I'm thinking about 20 different things as I'm reading. Okay, so
I didn't know you could read. How about that?
Well, I can read. Okay, I learned how to read in I think it was the second or third grade. Okay.
That's very impressive. Yeah.
Okay. You know, remember Dick and John, Dick and Harry, or Dick and Jane, or whatever. Yeah. You know.
It's a family show. Okay, take it easy.
Well, you know, Dick is just a short for Richard. Okay.
Oh yeah. Poor okay. Richard. Yeah.
You know. I'm not talking about. I'm not saying anything out of line. Okay.
That's good. Anyway, how much more show we got? We almost finished, right?
Well, you know, we're in the up to about 40 minutes right now.
Good.
Okay.
Can we do the commercials? Because I got to get out of here. It's like $1 billion on the street. It's raining in New York.
All right. Hold on. You want to do the? Are you on the page?
I'm going to the page right now. You want me to rattle them off?
Yeah. Well, you're our commercial announcer, Mike.
Let me get the commercial announcer voice going. Ready? Leave the yellow taxi cab from MTBOT operator. Why? Free defensive driving and wave training course interaction. Free online GLC application and renewal process. Free legal representation at Oath, Port Authority, Traffic, and Criminal Court. Free. Experience MTBOT, that's the Metropolitan Taxi Cab Board of Trade, staff members to work directly with drivers. Call 718-784-4343 and ask for Kanchan Das. That's 718-784-4343 and ask for Kanchan Das to drive a MTBOT fleet cab today. Also, we want to tell people that the good people of Checker Management have moved to a bigger, brighter, and more convenient location. Checker is at 11-05 38th Avenue in Long Island City. Their phone number is 718-361-6300. That's Checker Management at 11-05 38th Avenue in Long Island City. Their phone number is 718-361-6300. They have daily, weekly, weekend, all shifts available. That's Checker. Check them out. 718-361-6300. Also, we're going to jump up the hill there to WB Taxi. WB Taxi is located at 35-11 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. WB Taxi phone number is 718-729-7777. That's 718-729-7777 for WB Taxi. And the guys with the blue bumper stickers, 718-729-7777. Also, we're going to go out to Brooklyn. God's country. King Brokerage is located just off the BQE at the 6th Avenue exit. Their King Brokerage is at 6814 5th Avenue in Brooklyn. Their phone number is 718-833-8110. Their phone number is 718-833-8110. Be your own boss, and you can purchase a new NV200 wheelchair-accessible vehicle, and according to them, earn $35,000 in bonuses. And ask King Brokerage about that. Again, King Brokerage, 718-833-8110. And look, see all you have all that business going on. Might want to check out CPA, Taxi CPA. Ask for Mr. Tony Tax. His phone number is 718-413-6126. 718-413-6126. That's Tony Tax at Taxi CPA. And their website is taxicpa.com. And I'm scrolling around, Abe. What else we got? What else we got here? Oh, and the class action suit. Anybody wants any more information about the class action suit with Rothenberg et al. Versus Doss et al.? That's a very interesting case. It's at the upper right corner of our website. You can call them. It's Norman Siegel's law firm. So that's very, very interesting case. And what else we got, Abe?
That's it, Mike. That's it. Okay.
Yeah, I got to get a glass of water. Excuse me. Yeah. Say something.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody. This is a shortened show, okay? It is Labor Day weekend, and we do want to go out in labor, okay? Mike wants to go out in labor, all right? And I'm going to have to labor to edit part of the show, okay?
Yeah.
And want to thank you for tuning in, and come back next week. We'll have another new show every week. We try to give you a new show. We usually do. Okay, and Mike is going to be on the Taxi Dave show tonight. Okay,
on the Taxi Dave show tonight. Yes, I'm going to be in the studio on the Taxi Dave show.
Okay.
Fortunately,
fortunately for the Mets, they won't be playing. Okay.
Yay! Oh, you know the Mets, in their wisdom, last night started Matt Harvey in Houston. Gives you an idea of who's running that show, which is insane.
Are they playing baseball in Houston?
Well, the Houston Astros are playing baseball. The Mets, not so much.
No,
so,
but what I'm saying is, with all that's happened in Houston, is there anybody at the game?
They had about 15,000 show up. I mean, they said 15,000 people show up. Because I guess after all this flood stuff, you need some kind of getting away from it. You know, and You know, that's one thing about this national news feed that I'm looking at. Every day, it's a camera of Houston floodwaters. Every day. What do you think about the flood? What do you think the flood? Listen, let the people clean this up. As every single day, it's a bombardment of sameness. It's the same thing every day. I mean, after a while, it's like, stop.
Yeah, so, by the way.
Whereas us, we have different stuff every week. Yeah. Go ahead.
By the way, there's another Hurricane Irma in the Atlantic right now, heading in the direction of where I'm sitting right now. Okay.
You're going to do a live feed from the hurricane? You're going to put your
What I'm trying to say is that if I feel the hurricane is going to hit here, I'm hoping to escape somewhere to like Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. And
Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, and hopefully we could do the show from there. Okay.
Why not?
Well, because I'm going to take the computer that does the echo.
The echo. We'll do an echo version.
Yeah, right
like
now.
Jimi Hendrix thing.
For those who have no idea how this show is being produced, I just want to say it's being produced with two computers, okay?
Uh-huh.
Actually, one is echoless, all right? And the other causes an echo in Mike's voice, so I stopped using that one. So uh-huh. I guess I'll have to take the other computer if I go to Atlanta. Or it's possible that I might get washed out, be sitting in 6 feet of water, hopefully with my head above it. Okay?
Yeah. Well, do me a favor. Don't drown. We got some people listening to the show now.
I'll try not to, but, you know.
You've also ridden out a few of these storms down there. You've ridden out a few hurricanes.
No, I haven't personally done that. There was one last year that just missed us. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right? So there is a storm that is being watched right now, Irma. All right, so I just wanted to say that, okay, and that's that. So anyway, thanks for tuning into the Mike and Abe Show, and we'll see you next week, we hope, okay?
Thank you, world, for tuning in. It's a great show. We really appreciate everybody checking in for this show. And our ratings are on the moon, and Taxi Dave is the number one show in the radio in New York City. So if you guys out there in radio land want to put some advertising or sponsorship on either of these toes, and just call Abe or Dave, and let's get this party started, right?
Okay, that's it. Bye-bye, everyone.
Okay. Good night, New York. Bye.